Let's turn to teaching material A4. Number four, spiritual condition of Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem lay desolated? The main reason is they have spiritual problem. The spiritual condition deteriorate. And in previous section, we mentioned that the glory of God depart from temple. Actually, it depart from Jerusalem, depart from the holy city. And that was the beginning of the destruction of the whole city. And chapter 13 to 24 describe the spiritual condition of Jerusalem. And one of the brothers asked about chapter 8, how come the woman weeping for Tammuz, 8 chapter 14. In the Bible, we cannot see very clear why the woman weeping for Tammuz. Even Tammuz, the term of Tammuz is only appear here once. But one thing is sure is the woman weeping for Tammuz because there is a connection. If there is no connection, the woman will never weep for the idol. So, and this kind of connection arouses God's anger. So when we see the idol being destroyed, right? As a Christian, you see the idol being destroyed. In the bottom of our heart, we will never cry for that, right? Because idol is a worship, is a false god. Idol is related to Satan. How can we cry for the destruction of an idol or destruction of a mosque? Or we will never cry for it. Since it, the woman weep for Tammuz, the inner heart of the woman must be connected. And that connection is no good in the eyes of God. Now we come back to chapter 13. Chapter 13 talk about the spiritual condition of Jerusalem. 13, especially 13, talk about the error of the false prophet. In the Old Testament, the prophet play a very important role to sustain the faith of chosen people. Because in the Old Testament, there is no Holy Spirit, there was no Holy Spirit, there was no Bible. So, how can they understand the words of God? They have go through the prophet. So the prophet should receive revelation from God and go everywhere to convey the revelation of God. And the prophet, just like Elijah, when God want him to do something, the Spirit of God will descend on the prophet, and the prophet will be very powerful. So without vision and without Holy Spirit, the people in the Old Testament, their faith rely heavily on the prophet. So if the prophet has problem, usually the whole nation is going to have problem. But today is different. Today is different. Why? Because today, everyone is a priest. In New Testament, everyone is priest. What is the function of priest? The function of priest is to offer the sacrifice. Ever since Jesus' crucifixion, the veil separates holy and holy and holiness been torn into two parts, which means there is no hindrance between the temple and the holy of holiness. So everyone, we can rely on the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness given by Jesus Christ, and we can move forward directly in front of God and pray to God. So every one of us now, we are all royal. We have the royal priesthood. The same thing, a prophet we already mentioned. If we receive Holy Spirit, being filled by the Holy Spirit, and you read the Bible in depth, then you can understand the will of God in the Bible through the revelation of Holy Spirit. So every one of us, we can be a prophet to convey the message of God very clear. And today, we are the king. Do you know? The Old Testament, three kind of person are most noble. Priest, prophet, and king. Only these three kind of person has been anointed. Today, we are the king. How do you know you are the king? Hey, brother, how do you know you are the king? Anybody? How do you know you are the king? Are we the king? Huh? No. Revelation? What does that mean? Okay. Can you explain? Yeah, Bible says we are the king. That's exactly what I quote. Why? How do you know? Huh? What? Anointed? So we are the king, right? But we are the king, you must have some kind of substance, right? Anointed, yes. Anointed means receiving Holy Spirit, right? Spiritually, we are anointed, receiving Holy Spirit. Then, what kind of substance can demonstrate you are the king? Huh? Be crowned? A crown, okay. Any other way to show we are a king? How? Yes, because Holy Spirit empowers us, so we can be the king together with Jesus, right? And who? How do you know? One thing very sure is what? When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you are filled by the power of God, you can cast out the demon. That means you are the king. Even demon listen to you, right? Because you have the power from above. So you are the king. But in the future, we are going to what? To be like, to sit together with Jesus Christ to judge every nation. Oh, so we are the king, right? Oh, so we have three kind of status. We are the priest, we are the prophet, we are the king. Oh. Okay. So, chapter 13, the arrow of the false prophet. The first arrow is the false prophet lack of vision. You know, the prophet need to receive revelation from God. But because of lack of vision, so the false prophet has no vision from God to convey to the Israel. If they have no vision from God to convey to Israel, then all the vision they mention is false vision. So they become false prophet because they receive nothing from God, but they want to speak something on behalf of God. If we receive nothing from God, you want to speak on behalf of God, then we are going to speak a lot of things. It's according to ourselves, not according to God. Oh. Right? So if we are the true prophet, we have to receive revelation from God, and we convey the revelation from God to the people, then we are the true prophet. Oh. So this is the first false error, absence of vision. If we read chapter 13, verse 16. Chapter 13, verse 16. That is the prophet of the Israel who prophecy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. They saw the false vision. So they convey the message, peace. Jerusalem has no problem. But actually, Jerusalem has no peace. How come Jerusalem has no peace? Because Jerusalem has sinned and they refuse to repent. So the impending judgment and destruction is coming. Of course, no peace. And how come the prophet saw the vision? That's a false vision, not come from God. So this is the first one. The spiritual condition declined because the error of the false prophet. First one, they lack the vision. The second, they were irresponsible. One of the things the prophet had to do, you go into chapter 13, verse 5. Chapter 13, verse 5. You had not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of the Israelite and to stand in battle on the day for the Lord. The priest did not stood in the breach and did not fighting the battle for the Israelite. When God want to destroy the people, the chosen people, according to Psalm chapter 106, right? They worship the idol. So God want to destroy every one of them. And how come they don't God change his mind? Psalm chapter 106, verse 23. 106. Verse 23. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. So when God wanted to destroy the chosen people, Moses was the one, like a priest, stood before God. Stood before the breach on behalf of, before God in the breach, on behalf of the chosen people. So what does that mean? Stood before God in the breach. Which means Moses went up to the mountain and prayed for Israelite for 40 days. In the breach means according to the sin they had committed. That is a breach, a big hole there. And God's wrath is going to come to them through that breach. And since Moses used his prayer, right, stood in that breach, so God changed his mind. And in the time of Ezekiel, the prophet was irresponsible, did not really intercede for the people who commit sin. Right? They did not really convey the warning. The judgment is coming, but they still say, no, nothing. Peace is, Jerusalem is very peaceful, nothing. Did not have a proper warning, the vision from God, and did not responsible to pray for them. That is the two reasons caused the downfall of Jerusalem. So what does that mean to us today, as in your age? Sometimes we are the watchmen or our family, right? Sometimes your parents are the watchmen of your family. The first one is, as a watchman, serving like a priest, we have to receive the words of God. We have to understand the will of God very well. We look from God's perspective into our family's spiritual status. So if our family member's spiritual status are very low, declining, like Jerusalem, or almost commit sin, what should we do? The first one is to convey the warning. Convey the correct teaching so that our family member know that this kind of lifestyle is watery, this kind of lifestyle will lead into the downfall of our faith. Convey the warning. If we don't convey the warning, we'll be like a false prophet. Nothing wrong. Our family has nothing wrong. Our family is pretty good. That's a false prophet. If there is sin, there is something wrong. If there is sin and we say nothing wrong, then we are the false prophet. So we have to convey the warning in our family. One day you become the church leader or council member. We have to watch over the whole congregation. If there is a tendency the congregation
was a young people in generation tends to commit sin. We have to convey the warning. We cannot say, oh, the young people have no problem. You see, you have no problem. We have to warn them. Your behavior eventually lead into sin. And beside that, we have to pray for them. First, pray for our family member. Stand before the bridge. Pray for them. And God can change the mind. Always pray for the congregation. So this is the second reason, the downfall of Jerusalem. The false prophet was irresponsible. The third reason, full of false words. From chapter 13, verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 8 to 23. They talk about, they convey the false message. We already mentioned, right? There's no peace, but they convey the message of peace. You know, Paul, right, before he departed from Ephesians, the farewell speech of Paul is very important. Let's look into the Acts chapter, farewell speech. Acts chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. Acts chapter 20, 26, 27. For I have not sent to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you the overseer to shepherd the church, which is he purchased with his own blood. Verse 26. Therefore, I testify to you these days that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Paul said, I'm innocent for the blood of all men. Why? For whatever the counsel of God, I convey to you 100%. So what does that mean? Today you are the RE teacher, right? Most of you are RE teacher, right? Oh, in the J1, start to J2, you know, they fall into a lot of temptation. You have to convey all the message of God, not only the message of peace, joy, and blessing, and also the warning message. If you are too close to the opposite sex, do you know you are going to sin? If you already go over the no returning point, then you have to be responsible. Or this kind of message you have to convey, right? But if you convey the message for them, you pray for them, and they start to sin, they continue to sin, then you already fulfill your responsibility. But if we don't convey the message, we don't pray for them, then the class you are teaching, they commit sin, then you are responsible. No. So in the church, we cannot only convey a soft message. God love you, you have peace and joy. We also have to convey it 100% according to God's will. So this is chapter 13. Now go into chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Chapter 14, we already mentioned idolatry. From verse 1 to verse 12, is the deception of the false God. There are several verses we can see. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 2. And the words of the Lord came to me, saying, verse 3, Son of man, these men have set up their idol in their heart, and put before them that they have caused them to stumble into the iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of all by them?
they set their idol, they receive the idol into their heart. The sin will become their stumbling block. Once the idol comes into the heart, then we start to sin against God. Now we look into verse 4. Chapter 14, verse 4.
Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel who set up his idol into his heart and put before him what caused him to stumble into the iniquities.
So idol related to iniquities. Put idol in the heart, we set an obstacle for them to stumble into the iniquity. Now, verse 5.
That I may seize the house of the Israelite by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by the idol.
So their relationship have been alienated. Why? Because of idol. So, once again and again, right? God mentioned so many times, idol will destroy our relationship with God. So we have to be very watchful. Not only the visible idol, invisible idol in our life, in our heart, will animate our relationship with God. So we have to destroy it, take it out. And from verse 9, chapter 14, verse 9.
And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet and will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. If the prophet was deceived, that because God allowed it happen, so that they can be destroyed, because the prophet lead the Israelite to worship idol. Now, chapter 14, verse 11. That the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor the profaned anymore with all their transgression, but that they may be my people and I may be their God.
So this is the message of love, right? Now, verse 14 is very important.
In the Old Testament, three persons are considered righteous in the eyes of God. Who are the three persons? Verse 14. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their own righteousness, says the Lord. Since God is going to destroy Jerusalem, right? If these three persons were alive in the time of Ezekiel, they can be delivered. Right? Delivered by what? By their own righteousness. So God recognized the righteousness of these three persons, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Can you remember three persons? That will be in your test. According to Ezekiel, there are three righteous persons can be saved in the time of punishment, can be saved because of their righteousness. Who are the three persons? Who are the three persons? Olivia? Yeah, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Daniel, you cannot find any four, right? Also Job, you cannot find any four, right? And the Noah here is talking about what? Before the flood, Right? Noah was an upright, a man of upright, a righteous person. But after the flood, Noah did commit one mistake. Right? So these three persons are very high standard in their behavior. They can be saved. So in chapter 14, at these two verses, you have to remember. Three verses. The first verse is verse 5. Who alienate? What alienate the relation between God's chosen and God himself? Verse 5. What alienate between God? What alienate God and his chosen people? Their idol. Oh, idol will alienate between God and his chosen people. This is the first verse. The second verse, three righteous persons, is verse 14. The third verse, there are four kinds of punishment coming from God. So what are the four kinds of punishment? Verse 21. Chapter 14, verse 21. Thus said the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgment on the Jerusalem. What are the four severe judgment in Jerusalem? The sword, the famine, the wild beast, and the pestilence. To cut off men and beasts from it, four judgment, actually four punishment. Right? Sword means what? Violence or war, right? Kill. The second one, famine. Famine means nothing to eat. Wild beast. At that time, wild beast, you know what it means, right? And pestilence means contagious disease. So in the last days, in the last day of Jesus' second coming, it's very possible the first four things is coming back again. Right? Sword today means war. Through the war between nation and nation, and people, so many people will be killed. Right? And then, pestilence, there are some kind of contagious disease, just like AIDS or something even more serious is coming. That will be the judgment of God to the people. So a lot of people say AIDS is God's judgment to the homosexual, because AIDS and most people of contract AIDS is from homosexual, right? And then famine, if you look into Africa, especially the country surrounding the sub-Sahara desert, famine is very serious. And how about beast? Right? How do we interpret beast? Wild beast. Today, the gun is so powerful, right? Not even wild beast can endure machine gun, right? Do, everyone will be dead. Right? So, wild beast interpreted in what way? Wild beast properly will be interpreted what? A country losing the humanity, right? They probably will become a wild beast. Will bite the people, and since it's a wild beast, nobody can control it, but you're going to kill a lot of people. Probably a country with dictatorship, with a nuclear bomb, or something like that. So four judgments, according to chapter 14, what are that? In chapter 14. Idolatry bring four dreadful judgment. That's chapter 14. Now we come to chapter 15. You look into the teaching material. Chapter 15 is talking about
Jerusalem. From verse 1 to verse 14, it talks about how Jerusalem received the grace of God. Jerusalem originally was like a newborn baby being abandoned on the roadside. You know the newborn baby, right? Being abandoned in the roadside. The newborn baby is going to die because newborn baby cannot take care of itself. So Jerusalem originally is a city. Nobody know it. Oh, right? It's a small city. Nobody know it. Just like a baby being abandoned in the roadside. Nobody pay attention to it. And they don't know what happened. Verse 6, chapter 16, verse 6. We are talking chapter 16. Huh? Chapter 15, we will come back later. Chapter 16, verse 6. And when I pass by you, and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. So God started to take care of Jerusalem, just like take care of a baby. And through the loving care of God, so Jerusalem gradually, like a lady, grown up from a newborn baby to the stage of a very beautiful young lady, ready to get married, and well adorned, according to verse 11 until verse 14. Especially verse 13 to 14. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was fine linen, silk and embroidered clothes. You had pastry of fine flour, honey and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded in royalty. Your fame went out among the nation because of your beauty, for it perfect through my splendors which I have bestowed to you. So the reason in the time of Ezekiel, Jerusalem became a very famous city, prestigious city, right? And the temple of God was built there, according to this passage, is because God's blessing. Just like an abandoned baby, eventually been taken care of by a person and grown up to be a fully grown, beautiful lady. Now, start from verse 15 onwards, this beautiful lady of Jerusalem indulged in prostitution. Means indulge in sexual immorality. So, from verse 1 to verse 14 is the blessing of God. It's the grace of God to Jerusalem. And from verse 15 to verse 34, it talks about Jerusalem repay God, repay evil to God's grace. You know, repay God's grace with evil. Repay God's grace with evil. This sin is very serious. If somebody treat us very bad, we treat the person very good. Thank God. You are a loving person. If somebody treat us very good, and we repay this goodness with evil, then we will be destroyed by God. That exactly happened to Jerusalem. God treat them very well, so they become a city of God. Very glorious. God will abide there. God's glory was there. Now, they become a prostitute girl. Worshipping all different kind of idols. They repay evil to God's goodness. So that sin is very serious. Now, let's look into verse 30. Chapter 16, verse 30. How degenerate is your heart, said the Lord God, seeing you do all these things, the deeds of a bronze harlot. It's a harlot in the eyes of God.
Okay, verse 33. Look into verse 33. Men make payment to all the harlot, but you make your payment to allow your lover, the hired them, to come to you from all around for your harlotry. So what does that mean? The person go for the prostitute, right? The person to pay the money. But Jerusalem on reverse. Now, Jerusalem like a woman. If a woman practice prostitute, as a prostitute, the woman can receive a lot of benefit, right? That's the reason they perform the as a prostitute. But Jerusalem as a prostitute, Jerusalem received nothing. Jerusalem paid the money to invite other men to commit fornic adultery with Jerusalem. That's something very strange. In the eyes of God, that's something very strange. So Jerusalem was a very weak-willed prostitution. Now, from 35 to 63. Because of this, repay good with evil. So, 35 to 63. This action inciting the wrath of God, aroused the anger of God. So God is going to destroy them. So we only briefly mention about the main point of the whole chapter. Now we do it chapter 16, verse 58 and 59. You have paid for your love, your lewdness, and your abomination, says the Lord. 59. For thus says the Lord God, I will deal with you as you have done, who despise the oath by breaking the covenant. By doing so, go to worship the idol. They despise the oath. They break the covenant between them and God. So, all the previous verse is talk about God's judgment and God's anger. But from 60 to 63, God still remember the covenant he made with Jerusalem. Verse 60. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. This is a marital covenant. If you read the book of Hosea, right? God asks the prophet Hosea to marry a prostitute. Hey, brother, you all want to get married, right? If today God revealed to you, hey, brother Tom, you marry a prostitute, what will be your response? What will be your response? You marry a prostitute, you probably will cry a lot, right? This is my first marriage. How come ask me to marry a prostitute, right? And Hosea really married a prostitute. So sometimes being a servant of God, you have to absolutely submit to God. And use his marriage, try to convey as a message. God loves you so much. Just like Hosea, even the wife go out to commit adultery, right? Practice that prostitution. But Hosea still loves the wife. So our heart lasting all different kind of things, like an idol, worshipping the idol, unfaithful to God in the eyes of God. But God still loves us. So this is exactly what mentioned here, right? God make a covenantal love, the marital love. And this is a love lasts forever. So even though they go after the idol, God feels jealousy, God wants to punish them, but eventually, God still loves them. So God's love is far beyond what we can comprehend, right? One day, if you really cannot understand what is God's love, just put your shoes into the prophet of Hosea. Marry a prostitute, are you going to do that? No, you are not going to do that. Why? Right?
But God still loves us. You know, our heart has so many idols inside, just like an adulterous woman. But God still loves us. He still sent down Holy Spirit. We pray, God still listen. That is the love of God. You understand from this perspective, then you can understand God's love. No. Now, verse 62. Chapter 16, verse 62. And I will establish my covenant with you, then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, you shall know I am the Lord with two ways. The first way is from negative way. They have been punished. They have been what? Chastised. And they are facing God's judgment. So they know God is the God. The other way from positive side. Even though they sin so much, but God still loves them. God still upholds the covenant. And they know there is God. Now, this is chapter 16. Chapter 17. Our time is up already. Now, tonight we start from chapter 17 until chapter 24. So we're going to a little bit faster. Let's pray inside.